This is Michelada Monday, and it's not a real Michelada if it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold.
Rise early, work late, strike oil. We're in Brea, you know.
Petros and Money live in Brea. Strike oil. We'll be here until 6 p.m. Another 2 hours halfway through our four-hour show on a Michelada Monday from Modelo. Not a real Michelada, but it's not made with Modelo. Modelo Especial, brewed with the highest quality ingredients for a taste that's pure gold. We have already given away quite a bit. Pair of tickets to see the Kings, a few pair to see the Ducks. We still have Clippers tickets to give away, more Ducks tickets to give away, our grand prize, and we have two grand prize packages to give away.
Unbelievable.
Canelo Alvarez versus Sergey Kovalev.
People try to trade for these the fight tickets like it's a rifle out in the Utah territory before Utah. Brigham Young got there. I mean,
right?
What's the matter with you?
Exchange of goods. Now,
you got to win the fight tickets. You can't exchange your hockey tickets for the fight tickets. You can't exchange your Vans hat for Ducks tickets. You get what you get, and you walk. Unless you're solo sports, you get what you get, and then we shame you.
Exactly right. We shame everyone.
We shame all of you.
That's the way it works. You come out to one of our remotes.
We're sorry.
Chances are we're not going to be grateful, but instead try to humiliate you.
Except for that Washington State guy. We're sorry that we insulted your air raid offense, sir.
Well, they really wore it.
Washington State?
Yeah.
It was a tough game for them.
It was.
They were close.
Hey, needed a game winner.
You know, if you're
needed a game winner at the end. You think you have it, and then all of a sudden, poof, it's gone.
If you're Washington State, you're allowed to say, hey, we were close. If you're USC,
they will host Oregon this week. UCLA will host Colorado.
That's right. Fantastic team, according to Josh Kelly.
Joshua Kelly will join us a little bit earlier if you missed that. Maybe a little after 6. You could hear it. Again, I heard a whoa.
Everything's fine. We're good.
Oh, I think we got Noah here.
Somebody just lost an avocado egg roll. We do, in fact, have him, Matt. Clippers home tonight versus the Charlotte Hornets. Pre-game at 6:30, tip-off at 7:30. I got to hear him the other night on my way to the airport on AM 570, calling that Clipper action. The Screaming Eagle. And we mean screaming in the best possible way. For he does soar and fly like an eagle on those broadcasts. But he's got to answer for that horrible loss.
What the hell?
Like he was out there trying to guard Booker. It's Noah Eagle on the Petros and Money Show on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. He is brand new Clipper radio play-by-play man. Hello, Noah. How are you?
Well, gentlemen, I think to quote Kawhi Leonard, I believe that he's the first one to ever say, hey, I am fantastic, and it's always a pleasure to be on.
And I do believe there is a trademark that has been filed, right? Trademark request for what it do, baby.
Yeah, what it do, baby.
Well done. That was good intonation as well.
Thank you.
I think if you can stretch out the do, it's even better. You can really
what do, baby.
What a fun guy.
Yeah.
What it do, baby. I think we got it.
We could do this the whole interview.
Yeah,
actually.
We really could. What the hell happened out there, Noah? You got to answer for this, man. I know you're not 6 feet tall, but you still got to answer for this.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'd say that they ran into a hardworking, hard-playing team that's really well-coached, and there were some defensive lapses in there, and they allowed some open shots that Devin Booker and Aaron Baines, even at some points, were hitting. They were hitting open threes, and Phoenix shot really well from the floor, and you know what? You're not going to win every single game. I think that Doc Rivers is using it as a teaching moment, and we're going to move forward to tonight, to this team against Charlotte, another hardworking young team that's coming off of a loss.
No, it seemed like Doc specifically upset about the defense, or I should say lack thereof, allowing 130-plus points to the Suns. What would you say led to that? Was it, he said they were a step late. Did they look tired? Did they look disinterested? Were they not up to play a team like the Suns that had the worst record in the league last year?
You know, I think for both of you being, top-notch professional defenders at one point in your basketball careers, wherever
how
that
dare
may
you,
have,
Noah?
Whoa, I'm serious here.
We can pick up on facetiousness, Eagle.
Hey.
All right, we know what you're doing.
You wouldn't score a point against me. I might foul out, but you would not score a point.
That's probably true.
You fouled me out like they fouled out Beverly.
You see, too soon. I'd say here's what happened. I think part of it is underselling yourself to a Phoenix Suns team that the last few years you could probably walk into the gym and you were going to beat them just off of belief alone. Now the Clippers are in a position this year, and it's a good place to be, that they're going to get the best shot out of every team they face. So whether that's a team of the three of us or that's a team of the L.A. Lakers, they're going to get the very best shot from any of them. And so the Phoenix Suns just happened to be that team a couple of nights ago, and I think they got a wake-up call of, hey, we need to make sure we are on our game as well all the time, or else we are not going to be victorious as often as we hope.
Voice of the Clippers, Noah Eagle with us. Noah, kind of go back, harken back to the past a couple days is all I'm asking, and the Warriors. And what that team looks like, especially since they're coming off like a 50-point blowout at the hands of the Thunder, don't have a win yet this season, and what you saw and what kind of trouble they might be in this year without Klay, without Kevin Durant, and with D'Angelo Russell in his place.
I'd say they're in more trouble than my bank account when I walk into Sol Cochina, which you guys know that I really enjoy and
another
could
plug.
Go and run a train on it. Yeah, I same with
plug.
Either Sol Cochina or Nordstrom Rack. I'm just waiting for one of them to sponsor, but we'll
Keep
get
pushing.
To that point later. I'd say, listen, Golden State, they still have three All-Stars on their team. So at the end of the day, they can still rely on the backs potentially of Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and D'Angelo Russell. But when you look around them, the pieces are all new after those three, except for Kevon Looney. So it's going to take some time for them to get to know each other and how to play with one another. And I think the biggest issue for them, the biggest concern, is perimeter defense. When you have Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell, they are great offensive players, but neither of them are really known for what they do defensively. And so they gave up 140 points to the Clippers, and then they give up a boatload to Oklahoma City. I don't think that is going to solve itself very easily. That's going to take a concentrated effort, and we're going to see what Steve Kerr is made of. I think the last 5 years we saw that he's an excellent coach. He does an excellent job of managing personalities. But now is the real test. What can he do with this roster that is completely a brand new look for these Golden State fans?
Bougie Mexican food and Nordstrom Rack. It's Noah Eagle joining us right now on the Petros and Money Show. Clipper radio play-by-play man and new young man about town in the city of Los Angeles. Piggybacking something Matt was talking about earlier, the Lakers got the day off today after hanging out with David Blaine. Do the Clippers seem tired to you and in need of a day off, Noah, three games into the season, a whopping three games in?
I don't think so. They took the day off yesterday. I think we all enjoyed some Sunday football action. Doc Rivers potentially not enjoying what the Chicago Bears did on the field in particular, but they did get the day off yesterday. They came ready to go this morning for shoot around, and they look fresh. They look focused, I would say. And I think that it's easy sometimes to fall into these trap games. And you guys know, being around, and Petros, you were a player for many years, and Matt, being around the Chargers, you see it firsthand.
Thank
that
you,
sometimes
Noah.
After an emotional victory, you can overlook somebody. I don't think that they're tired. I just
That's
think
how it
that
was
they
when
need
I was playing.
Focus, get back on track. Yeah, yeah.
We overlooked a lot of guys when I was playing.
And they bit you.
Yeah, overlooked about eight teams my senior year. We lost eight games.
That's what all it was.
That happened a lot.
You guys
USC.
Were better. You just overlooked
That'll
them.
Get everybody fired.
You know
That's
what?
Exactly right.
We overlooked all those damn teams.
How about this? What if I pitch this to the organization, having you come in to try to inspire these guys, not overlook
listen to me,
anybody?
Noah. Listen to me. I want you to listen to me very carefully, okay?
I am,
Matt's one thing is he's a respected man about town. But don't you ever mention that you talk to me or know me to Gillian Zucker or you'll be fired and
don't put that on
and
him.
I'll be suspended.
Don't put that on
Don't
him.
Mention my name.
Okay.
Don't say I really like going on that PMS, that Petras and Money show there. That Petras sure is a cut up. Don't.
Maybe she's let it go by now.
No.
That was 15 years ago.
She's not let it go.
Maybe she has.
I called the town that she worked for a derogatory name, and she has yet to get over it.
Did Oklahoma State forgive you?
I never said that on air. My partner did.
And what's he doing now?
So, like I was saying, Matt, I would love to have you come in, Matt, at any time.
Exactly.
There you go. The team.
Hey, what's the deal with Paul George?
That would do a good job.
Do we? Oh yeah, I do a great job. Sure, I can really motivate those guys.
Hey.
What it do?
What it do, baby?
Hey, what's the deal with Paul George, Noah? What's the story there? Is he coming back tomorrow?
He's not coming back tomorrow. Maybe in 2K, but not in the real game. And I think that he's making strides forward. You can see that his shot is looking good. I think he is taking it day by day. But the team doesn't want to rush it, and rightfully so, because they are more focused on a run late into June than they are at a run in November. So I would say they are going to take every precaution necessary and get him back when he's 150%, which hopefully will be right around the middle of next month.
Hey, you're the new voice. You just arrived a couple months ago, so I don't know if you feel like you had a connection to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but I do think a lot of Clipper fans did. Are you keeping an eye on him at all and watching what the hell that second-year player is doing out in Oklahoma City? I'm just asking.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, the dude is a stud. I think that you can't overlook the fact that he's going to be a big-time player for a long time in this league. And Doc and Lawrence Frank both talked about it. They said that he was the last guy they wanted to give up, and they fought to try to keep him, but it was necessary to go out and get Paul, which was necessary to go out and get Kawhi. So they called Shai, and they said, hey, you've been traded.
Hey.
And he said, oh, man. He said, who'd I get traded for? And they said, Paul George. He goes, oh, good job. Like, he was cool with it. He said, whoa, I got traded for Paul George. I must be doing pretty well. And so I think that's just a testament to him. I've heard nothing but unbelievable things about his character, and, man, he can play. He can straight-out play on the court.
Hey, I'm not cool with it. That guy's going to Oklahoma City, man.
I heard they have great seafood. Great seafood.
Last thing for you, Noah. How much eye contact did you avoid on that losing plane? I mean, I bet you were staring at your own crotch the whole time.
Wow.
Yep, still there.
I feel like you have some sort of omnipresent video camera on me at all times, because that's exactly what I did when I got on the plane, just directly down, 90 degrees, just 100% for the full whatever 90-minute flight it was. No, but I will tell you this. I did tell you my key to the game last time, and by the way, against the Lakers, it panned out. The fact that LeBron couldn't do his Taco Tuesday was a big detriment to the Lakers in that first game. So now, key to the game in game number two. The press food, because Staples Center brought out tacos that LeBron was nowhere near in game one. That means that the Clippers are undefeated with tacos being served in the media room. If tacos
so what's up
are
tonight?
Served again today, if they're, I haven't seen yet. I went in and the food wasn't out. But if it's tacos for a second consecutive time at home, the Clippers will win. I will tell you that.
Send us a tweet.
Yeah.
Let's get it out there.
Listen, though, I feel like
once the information's out, we'll get it to the AP.
A photo. Yeah,
I feel like it's great. I feel like it's great stuff. But maybe moving forward, we may want a little more from your key. We just may want a little. I'm just saying, you know, maybe it's the way you stared at your crotch the whole way home. Maybe there's something there, something superstitious. I don't know. Hey, what are you doing back there? No, nothing. Just staring at my crotch.
Key to the game?
Yeah.
What are they serving for the media?
I'm learning. It is game four. The keys will only get stronger as we go through the season. But I can tell you right now, if there's taco meat in the media room, there will be a Clippers victory.
All right. Well, tweet at us. Let us know.
Yeah, we need to know that. I mean, I'm sure around Christmas it'll be like rebounding margin. But right now.
Tacos.
What's the media eating? What's Mark Wicker eating?
That's it.
Fajitas.
That's it.
Is what they're telling us.
You know what he's eating? Clay Helton's BS.
Yeah.
That's what he's
Thank you, Noah.
Oh. Enjoy it, Noah. Have a good one, brother.
I appreciate it, as always.
Good stuff.
We appreciate
we
you, Noah Eagle. All right. We'll be right back on the Petras and Money Show. With some hardcore NFL.
Hardcore Clippers. Ian Rappaport
hardcore
coming next.
NFL trade talk.
Trade deadline is tomorrow. Rams, no strangers to trades.
Do you know today's Ohi Day?
Ohi.
Do you know Oki Day?
I do know Oki Day.
Oki Day is when the Greek Prime Minister Metaxas said Oki to Mussolini, who wanted the Greeks to lay down their arms like the punk-ass French in World War II. And the Greeks said no and were immediately conquered by the Axis powers. But still, it was a one-word speech. Oki Day.
Oki Day.
Yes, Metaxas. Yes, sir. Yes. We'll be right back on the Pedersen Money Show on AM 570 with Ian Rappaport. Oki to all of you.
Oki.
It's no.
And the simple charms that thrill me so good. Feel the race of our hearts, rip the paint from the cars. Steady as we move.
Protect your neck. What's cracking, everybody, and welcome back. PMS is on the air live from the BJ's in Brea. BJ's Restaurant and Brewer House from 2 to 6. Matt and I will be here leading up to the big Clipper broadcast. You just heard from Noah Eagle. And it's already been announced our very next BJ's broadcast is 1 week from today. West Covina, Dallas, Saginaw, New York. We will be there November 4th in West Covina, the BJ's. East Eastland Drive, I believe it is. East Eastland Center, Eastland.
Yes, exactly right, man.
Totally east of the Eastlands.
That's good recall right there.
Clippers versus Hornets tonight, pregame at 6:30. Matt and I will take you up to that. And joining us right now, with all this movement, we need somebody to help us understand it on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline.
He does it on the NFL Network. You can be, or maybe you already are, one of his millions of followers at Rap Sheet on Twitter. And he hosts his own Rap Sheet and Friends podcast. Friend of the show, been on multiple times.
Many
and with
times.
The trade deadline tomorrow, broke that news this morning about Leonard Williams being traded to the New York Giants. Certainly a whole lot more movement coming in the next 24 hours. It is Ian Rappaport back on the program on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Ian, what's happening?
What's going on, man? How are you?
We're doing well. Give us an idea. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. How much different is the trade deadline in 2019 than, let's say, just 5 years ago? And why do you think we have more movement?
You know, I don't know how much movement there will be actually tomorrow in, like, kind of a weird development or whatever you'd say. A lot of big names have already been traded. I mean, we could, you know, we could see, like, a Chris Harris get traded or Robbie Anderson, you know, could get traded. But as far as, like, the, you know, big name, like, we're not going to see a Jalen Ramsey-type deal, for instance. A couple of years back, Jimmy Garoppolo got traded. I don't think we're going to see that. But the fact that you have so many kind of young, open-minded GMs who talk to each other has kind of led to more trades. And I think the fact that more trades happen and everyone – you know, has gotten into kind of the analytics of it now. And so it's not crazy to think about, like, okay, well, I just traded a great young player because fans understand, okay, well, I got two first-round picks for it, so that's okay. You know, like, there's a greater understanding of the actual cost of trades now, I feel like, which has led people to be more open about it, which has led to more trades.
Like, I remember Herschel Walker and Eric Dickerson, and those are the only two trades in my whole lifetime that I remember, and you just gave us a couple good reasons, but were the GMs back in those days just old curmudgeons that didn't be, was it because of social media and texting? I mean, what were the GMs like back then? How come they never traded anybody?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I probably wasn't even really, I mean, I wasn't born back then, or I don't know, I was probably 6 or 7 years old, still thinking I was going to be, you know, succeed Gary Carter as the catcher for the Mets. But, you know, it didn't happen, by the way. I just think that the way it is now, there's so many different viewpoints. There's so many different ways to calculate value. Everyone is sort of closer as far as guys stay in touch with each other. And, you know, there's really a climate where, like, there are some legitimately huge names discussed in trades. You know, like the Lions talk to some teams about trading Darius Slayton. I don't think it's going to happen, but they at least got calls about it and discussed it. Maybe 5 or 10 years ago, that never would have happened, but just no one's afraid now because you just never know what the price would be, and it's just a lot more of an open environment.
Ian, what? I'm not saying that there's any new information, but something we've been doing, you know, quite a bit on just trying to figure it out is what's going on with Todd Gurley. I mean, I'm not saying there's new information. Maybe there is, but when you look at the box score after every game, you know, we're used to seeing in years past 130 to 150 combined yards from scrimmage, and now we're seeing between 40 and 60 game in and game out. Have we figured anything out more about what is happening with him and what the Rams are doing with him?
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, it's kind of like they've sort of talked about in the preseason. I mean, you know, obviously you guys know they got asked 8 million times about it. They want to make sure that when they get down the stretch in December, that Gurley is effective. They want to make sure that when they got to have it, when they need it most, that Todd Gurley is out there. And obviously he's had far fewer carries this year. He's been effective at times. I don't think his yards per carry is down much. I have to check on that, but I don't think his yards per carry is down much from what it's been. He just hasn't had that many touches. I think what they found last year is that by the time they got to December, he did not look like the same player. You know, dealt with an injury. I think it was his knee. It was either his knee or ankle. And then by the time they got to the playoffs, he was kind of tentative and had lost his mojo a little bit and just didn't look like Todd Gurley. You know, I mean, this is a team, a Rams team that at the least – has a decent, you know, shot at the playoffs. They want to make sure when they get there that Gurley is as effective as possible. I mean, long term, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure this is a guy who's going to be in a Rams uniform in 2030. But at the least this year, they'd like to get more out of him in December and January.
Gosh, make the playoffs. I mean, people here in L.A. were getting fitted for Super Bowl rings in the preseason and talking about, hey, if they just had Cooper Kupp, they would have won that Super Bowl against the New England Patriots is some of the narrative here in Los Angeles.
They got Cooper Kupp now, man.
Yeah, he's playing great. But did the rest of did the coordinators figure out the Rams a little bit? Is that part of why they're not the Super Bowl favorite anymore?
You know, I think the defense has started, I mean, now it's actually gotten a lot better, but for a while, I think the defense really struggled to cover. And, you know, you looked at Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. I mean, Talib went on IR, and I think everybody can probably agree wasn't playing great. I think IR probably made a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. Marcus Peters got shipped out of there. The change in the way they played defense, played a lot more man. They've looked different on defense. I think the other thing is just it's emotionally, like as humans, it is hard to do it 2 years in a row. It is hard to get to the Super Bowl. You know, you get all the way to February. Plus, everyone tells you how great you are the whole time. Plus, everyone got more money, contract extensions. It's just hard to be that hungry. And so they've been a little bit of a different team. I do think when they get to December and January, they're going to be dangerous. It just takes on a different look from last year when you've already been there and then been celebrated the whole year.
Ian Rappaport is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. That'll give you a link to his Rapsheet and Friends podcast as well. You can see him on NFL Network and, of course, read him on NFL.com. In terms of the Rams, and they have never been strangers to making the bold move at the deadline. Are there any other borderline contenders, Ian, that you think are in the market for a move? And I know you said those big names, you know, like Jimmy Garoppolo, Jalen Ramsey, that may not be out there. But, you know, they're not in the playoff picture right now. There's teams ahead of them, the Vikings, the Seahawks, the 49ers, obviously. Is there more player movement that could lead to maybe emboldening a team's chances to making the postseason to be made?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are definitely moves that will help. Like the Lions, for instance, are looking for running back help, right? Like, they are a team that's, I think they're 3-3-1 right now. And a team that has showed flashes of being good, should have beat the Packers on Sunday night, or whenever that was, Monday night. Could they use, what if they trade for Rashad Penny? You know, that could be something that could kind of change the way they be. Could someone trade for O.J. Howard for a first-round pick? I don't know. Could the Browns trade for Trent Williams? You know, and maybe the franchise left tackle is enough where they protect Baker and they start looking different. I mean, those are sort of the things. You know, I don't know that there's an Amari Cooper this year, someone who's going to literally change the season, but at least there are guys that will help.
Do you think the Raiders are in that conversation of acquiring Ian? I mean, they're 3-4, but at the same time, there's, you know, with the Mahomes injury, perhaps they still view themselves as contenders for the AFC West. Have you heard anything around them and what they, because obviously they need some pass rush help?
Yes, and, you know, I had heard the Raiders were interested in a receiver. Robbie Anderson was the name that was mentioned to me. Now I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure that that's really going to happen. It seems to me like they've more centered their sights on not a pass rusher, but a linebacker. You know, like if they're going to use draft capital, I think it would be a linebacker more than anything. So that's kind of the direction they're going. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely a team that's kind of right in the middle. And, you know, are they going to go all out for, you know, a huge big name guy? Like, I don't think so, but they do seem open to tinkering a little bit and willing to give up a draft pick to do it.
The modern NFL. What was wrong with those old GMs? We may never know. But now they talk, they communicate, there's insiders.
They tweet.
Yeah. It's like a whole new world. It's crazy. I mean, what a time to be alive, right?
Isn't this great?
Are you going to be up all night tonight?
I wasn't alive back then, but, you know.
You were alive.
Now is a great time to be alive regardless.
Dude, it's not like you're 20 years old, all right? You're not Sham Sharania. It's not. You were alive when Herschel Walker got traded. Quit acting like you're.
You don't.
Gee.
Wait, what year did Herschel Walker get traded?
91. No, I don't know. I think it was the late 80s. I think the Herschel Walker trade was probably 1989, 1990-ish.
All
that
right.
Would be my guess.
So
answer for it.
So I was 9 or 10. They didn't even have phones back then. They have to telegram
no
each other.
Yeah.
1989, October 12th, 1989.
Good.
Herschel Walker.
That's good.
That's because I'm old.
Teletype.
That's exactly. Fresh off the high speed sports wire.
Gil Brandt drove him to the edge of a bridge. And then Coach Burns was at the Vikings coach. He was on the other end of the bridge. And Herschel walked halfway over, and the other half of the Vikings team walked the other half back.
Right,
thank
so
you
what
so much.
So they got the tin cup on one side. They stretched the string across the ledge.
Exactly right.
The trade. I got it.
Yeah. That's
how OJ ended up a 49er.
Johnny Unitas and Charger.
Johnny U. Somebody smoking rope.
Exactly
right. All right. Thank you, Ian. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
The rap sheet, everybody.
Rap sheet.
Sorry, I had to know, Matt. I want to know about those old-timey GMs.
What the hell was their problem?
How come they wouldn't trade anybody? Hey, I really like my running back who's taking like 25 cortisone shots to the neck. Do you want to keep your running back who's taking like 25 cortisone shots to the neck?
The funny thing is, that's it.
I know.
I like my guys. I'm good with my guys. These are my guys.
The snow goose, Carl Mecklenburg, will never die. We'll never trade him. We'll never let him go. I guess it happened back in the day, but it just didn't happen like you thought it would happen. Did I give away the last two hats to those kids?
No, we got one left.
Oh, and you guys won those hats unfairly.
But I'm glad those kids got it. They look good in them hats.
Yeah, good-looking kids right there.
Yeah, that ticket was worth something at one point, sir. That ticket was worth hockey tickets.
Yeah.
Instead,
and now
you got to be a bit of a smartass
there. It's worth nothing.
Exactly. You're Bears. And he's proud of his Bears.
Well, Matt, you got to be proud of your Bears.
Yeah, hell of a game yesterday by them.
Old Pinheiro or Pinero or Panera bread.
I got stuck with that three different times.
Yeah,
I had
everybody
one person
said
tell
it
me Pinheiro, and then another guy was like Pinero, and I was like, whatever. He pulled it left. Sorry. It's over. That's it. That's all I got.
We'll be right back.
That's all I got.
With more PMS.
We're going to give away P in this break. Tickets. We got Clipper tickets left. We got Ducks tickets left. We're going to give away this Vans hat. We have a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse gift card. We're here for another hour and 20 minutes. We got a top story on the NFL. We got How Was Your Weekend?
Here's what I was looking for, Matt. We do have How Was Your Weekend coming up next. Give me. This is about you, sir.
About the guy that wanted the fight tickets.
About the guy that tried to trade in his tickets for fight tickets.
You're wearing a Rams shirt.
And he said he deserved.
You got a shirt that says Go Rams, and you keep pointing to a hat that's got the Bears. What are we doing here?
He said he deserved the tickets because he was half Mexican.
Yes, he did.
I got this text. This text came from the 714 on the text hustle line, brought to you by Chevrolet. You put those sons of bitches in their place, Petros. I grew up in Brea, and it's nothing but middle and upper middle class, half white, half Mexican guys running around with their noses in the air, backstabbing each other. And I'm a bad guy because your daughter hooked up with me? Screw Brea. Get him, P. Now, that guy might be having a little bit of his own moment.
Sounds like it.
But I think these people, hey, I don't care if you're half Mexican. We're not going to take any arrogance. We're not going to take any snobbery here.
No exchanges.
No. We're not going to have any pretension.
Wheel's going to come off.
You can't be like, hey, my nose is in the air. Well, why you got your nose so high, bro? Well, I'm half Mexican. No. We're not going to have that here. Thank you, sir. Glad you're over there.
On the other side
of the
bricks.
I like that you're wearing a neoprene suit. Yes, I see that you're with an attractive woman. Don't choke her. Jeez. No, not like that. He was just there trying to...
That's it. We're all getting fired.
We'll be right back on the Petros and Money Show on AM570 LA Sports. Your Brea Sucio show of record. No half-Mexican snobs. Nutty. Pop it, everybody. Welcome back. PMS is on the air. Happy to be with you live from the bar culture that we have cultivated at BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. That's what we call it here in Brea, where the Sucios live and the conquistadors point their judgmental fingers and say, Sucio. Want to give a shout out to Frank and Debbie from the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes Booster Club. Clyle introduced me to Frank and Debbie over there. They do a lot for the players, as
All
you
right,
know.
Frank.
The Quakes are a Dodger affiliate, and they are nice people. Thank you for being here. Thank you, all of you, for being here, as we have many giveaways at the BJ's Restaurant and Brew House.
That's the truth.
And it's always wonderful and heartening to see all of you people. A grandfather with grandkids, a man in a neoprene suit, a guy supporting the Bears.
And
the Rams.
Both.
This guy got duck tickets.
He's excited
Phillip
about that.
Phillip Rivers.
Alvin Kamara was here, but he left.
We got a lot of friends here,
man. We do.
And we're happy to be here.
Right.
And it is, as a matter of fact, Monday. Next Monday, Matt and I will be at the BJ's in West Covina.
It is their Monday night tour, the third of six stops next week. West Covina, Cowboys, Giants. And remember, it's happy hour when we do our Monday night broadcast. That means half off any large pizza,
half
the $5
off.
BJ's Brewhouse margarita.
All right, it is Monday, which means...
I do what I do, the weekend is mine.
So... How was your weekend?
How was your weekend? Obviously, couldn't be that bad, right? You're here on Monday, still keeping the party going. Matt, how was your weekend?
That's good. Flew into Chicago Friday night with the Chargers.
It's a homecoming of sorts.
Homecoming. My older brother met me at the hotel, went out for a drink and a burger at the Dearborn, and they had
Classy.
Some of my favorite beer, Three Floyds on tap, had a Dreadnought IPA, turned in early Saturday, went to hang out with the family. And woke up and realized that our hotel was right next to the spot where I used to fight for the premier parking location to sell. Before food trucks were cool, when I was in high school, I worked for a joint called Chicken Olé. And I drove a burrito truck to the Board of Trade. And if I sold a truck full early enough to get a second load, that second load was pure profit for me.
Like
so I
was Ignatius Riley.
Supremely motivated. And our hotel was right next to that little spot. So that was kind of cool to see that in the morning. Went to... the family hung out with my nephews, Lucas, Colin, had some lunch at a brewery called Byway, and then back up to Chicago. Went to a place called Declan's to watch the Notre Dame-Michigan game. I'm sure you can imagine in the city of Chicago, a lot of Irish folk that like to get together to watch a game. They were very depressed.
There were some Michigan fans, too.
They were very depressed by the time
Notre
halftime
Dame was
rolled around.
Drive.
Yes,
yeah, they got
worked pretty hard, so I made my way to Lou Malnati's for a pizza, and then... Sunday morning was at Soldier Field. Family came out, some cousins, and caught up with the voice of the Bears. Very nice guy, Jeff Joniak, longtime voice of the Bears, and Tom Thayer in the studio calling those games with him. So that was pretty cool. And the Chargers finally caught a break. You know, finally had the end of a game go their way as opposed to every other
end of a game. Yeah, man. What a hard luck squad, right?
This season. So instead of getting stuffed at the goal line like they were in Tennessee, throwing a pick in the end zone like they did in Detroit.
I mean, the Chargers should have won the game. I mean, they left a lot of points out there. Guys dropping touchdown passes.
Two drop touchdowns.
Missing kicks. It was a sloppy.
And finally.
Slovenly sloppy game.
And boy, those Bear folks. They blame one person and one person only. And that Polish man has to wear it. And they do not look favorably
Trubisky,
upon their young quarterback.
Deeply confused look on his face.
Perennially.
But he is good looking. But yeah. He's good looking and confused, like Chris Klein in American Pie. Ooh. All right. Hey.
It's a good parallel.
How was the flight home, Matt?
It's good. Was actually, I should mention his name, because Dave Johnson, head of security, is a huge Petros and Money Show fan. Listens
you,
every
Dave.
Day, and Dave and I were had well, we hung out. We enjoyed each other's company, and you know,
it's like old Dave Roberts says, "Happy flight."
Exactly right.
You know, the Washington Nationals people were starting to be like, "When did our manager become Dave Roberts?" A lot of tweets like that last
Easy.
Night. Yeah, a lot of those.
It's too bad.
It's tough when your manager makes bad decisions in the playoffs. Ain't it, guys? You don't like that, do you? Don't like that much, huh?
Welcome to hard life.
Colin, because Tim Cates is not there. Tim Cates is just got done doing Spectrum Sportsnet LA. You can watch that tonight on your Dodger station. I know Clyle, Frank, and Debbie will. But coming up right now is Colin Yee, our old friend. Colin, how was your weekend there?
Oh, my weekend was great.
What a shock.
Yes, it was excellent. Got to
Very
broadcast
positive young man.
The Oaks Christian Calabasas game on Friday. So that
First
was
time
fun.
Calabasas ever beat Oaks Christian, right?
That's right.
Well, this guy's happy about it. There you go. Wow, you're from Calabasas. What a shock.
No,
and
no,
the
it
Duke.
Was, it went down
and
to the
Duke.
Wire.
And the Duke. Double white guy pleasure here.
My wife.
Why don't you guys do it? Milli Vanilli like chest bump in front of the table. That would just, you start
bop,
running
bop,
over
bop,
there.
Bop,
All right,
bop,
go,
bop,
go
bop,
ahead,
baby.
Colin. I'm sorry. That's good. That's cool that you called that game, yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. Then Saturday, got to hang out with Adam Ozzy Osland and Noah Ooh. Eagle running the board for the old Clippers game, although they did get boofed. Oh, they got boofed hard. And then yesterday, went to church and had an adult basketball
church?
League game, so that was cool.
Church league? Church league?
Not a church league, city league. And
okay.
Don McLean would have been proud because I was just, oh, man, I was
raining.
I was raining.
Well, let's get a stat line.
16 points. Probably
wow.
had a couple okay. boards. No assists, though, because I'm just a gunner. So, again, Don would have been
hey.
Proud.
Know your role.
And, yeah, went to the movies yesterday with the boys. Saw Zombieland 2.
Oh, with the boys. How many boys?
I think there were about 6 or 7.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a real bro down.
That's a lot of swinging Ds.
Damn.
That's right.
That's no joke.
Six swinging Ds rolling into the
Jeez.
Zombie movie. Somebody told me that I could be a zombie for Halloween without even trying.
That's not nice.
No, but I do have pretty dark bags under my eyes.
Anything else, Colin? Did you guys go get a couple pops after?
No, no pops.
Okay.
They were the Christian boys, so we stayed off those pops.
Ah, no pops.
Snapple?
Crack Snapple Pop.
Thank you, Colin, and thanks for being there today. Good job producing the show. Ronnie Fascio, how was your weekend? This is your segment.
Yeah, I had a nice weekend. Thank you very much for asking. On Saturday morning, was up early to trim the hedges on the side of the house. Getting a little long there. Did a little yard cleanup. Made a Costco run and watched some college foosball on the television. My wife and I went out for dinner in the evening time, and we went to a haunted house attraction in the city of Burbank.
Oh, yeah? Where?
Yes, on California and Magnolia. It's an
indoor,
annual
outdoor,
thing.
Indoor, outdoor, Ronnie.
It's an indoor thing. But the line is stretched all the way down the block. It took about 45 minutes to get in, but it's a pretty sophisticated setup for a residential haunted house. The people that own it and that put it on every single year must work in the industry because they've got some pretty sweet-looking props there in front of the
it's
house.
People from Zombieland.
And inside. You know what? I wouldn't put it past
you could star in that.
Yeah. I was looking Thanks. For Woody Harrelson in there. On Sunday, we stayed indoors for the most part watching foosball. And we did watch the Lakers game and a little bit of the World Series, but not much, while doing stuff around the house, getting ready for the work week. And that was my weekend.
Did you see the hair, Ronnie? Did you see LeBron's hair? Did you catch it in the moment?
You know, I was a little confused as to why he wasn't wearing the headband anymore. He was wearing the headband the other night, and all of a sudden he takes it off. And, yeah, his hairline does look a little weird, but, yeah, it's LeBron James.
Exactly.
LeBron James.
Petros. How was weekend, P?
Yeah. Oh, well, I was in Ames, Iowa.
Woo!
Anybody here ever been to Ames, Iowa? Yeah.
I do not see one hand.
I was in Ames.
I don't see one hand.
Stayed at the Radisson.
Not one.
Got on the elliptical. Did the game. Went to the very first time. Now, we're at a BJ's. But I went for the very first time in
Be
my
careful.
Life.
Be careful.
To a Buffalo Wild Wings.
And?
Not BJ's, man. Nowhere near the same.
Not
now.
Cool. Place is not cool.
I did went to
That's
a,
not cool.
I did go to a B Dubs, not a BJ's. And then I became a very.
Did you have a salad?
No, Matt, but I did have the grilled chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Come on, give me the horns. Be like Josh Kelly. Give me the horns.
It was fantastic.
Now, But some people wouldn't finish their boneless wings. I went over there and
cleaned
scooped
up
a few. Yeah, you know, a couple fries here and there. Well, you know, come on. I'm in Ames, Iowa. What do you want? And then the next day, coming home from Des Moines, Matt, I became a very angry traveler.
Mother Nature is not interested in your schedule.
Yeah, I was on the plane in Des Moines, and the guy on the plane started, we were connection in Denver, and the guy started going like, and we know that you're all very concerned about the horrible, awful weather in Denver. And I was like, what happened? What do you mean? And I was like, what do you mean poor, awful weather? And those of you and your connections, oh, Godspeed. It's like, what the hell is he talking about? And I looked onto my thing, and my flight said on time. Everything was fine with mine. And they were like, oh, let the people that are connecting off. And I was like, I'm a person that's connecting. I'm getting off.
When was your connection?
Very quickly. I just made it over there. And the thing was boarding. And I got on there. And then we sat on the tarmac for 2 hours while they de-iced the plane.
Yeah.
So I came in at 11:30. So I drank a couple of screwdrivers, which make me even madder. And then I put my hood over my head, sunglasses on over the hood, and then a hat on top of the hood.
On the plane.
So I look like the invisible man, like balaclava, like can't see me face. Just so everybody knows, don't mess with that guy. Because that's how I sleep, and then I snore. Well, then I put my headphones in and I play. I can only sleep to Scooby-Doo reruns on my iPhone. So I listen to the Scooby-Doo, and I sleep, and then I wake myself up because I snore so loudly. But what I don't like is when I wake myself up and everybody's staring at me because
they hate you.
I'm a complete clown on the plane. So everybody, you know, and it's so, it, you know, and then I'm up, but my eyes are open, but I can't see my face. And I can't see people looking at me. So I'm kind of like a freak in a circus that can't see what's happening around, but everybody's kind of staring in at
sure.
me. But
So that happened.
You know, Matt,
don't you think you kind of sent that signal when you ordered a screwdriver? Like when I told him to bring a third.
Yeah, and then the worst part about, you know, having three screwdrivers on a delayed flight and then, like, sleeping it off, basically, and waking up with a headache is you forget where you parked your car at the airport. So I was sweating balls just going through, like, five. And I almost cried. I almost just took a knee like Tebow and just started crying. And finally I realized I was in the third floor of Terminal 2. I thought I was on the second floor of Terminal 3. So when you fly in Delta, you fly back United, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
sometimes.
You know.
You're up for grabs, man.
Right. You know, I mean, it's anybody's.
Other side of the airport. How did you get to Terminal 3 from Terminal 7?
Oh, I know how to work the sidewalks.
Okay.
I know how to move in the middle part of LAX.
So you'll walk it.
By that weird-ass restaurant. Encounter. I know how to get up under there like Vietnam style. So don't worry, guys. I'm okay.
But you're here.
I'm okay. I made it here. But it was a very difficult way home. And, you know, like, I've been shamed so much on planes, and I'm so tired, and I can't keep from falling asleep sometimes, especially if I've been drinking.
Just get a balaclava. The hell with it, man.
I think if I went on the plane with the balaclava,
you'd be arrested.
Probably be shot, at least tased.
Like a dog. You would whine.
And the other thing, like,
coward.
Yeah, you die like a dog.
Die like a dog.
The other thing that's happening to me, like, I've become, like, obsessed with having to pee on the plane, and, like, I go pee, like more times than an infant. And everybody's like, what's wrong? Is this guy doing cocaine? Like, why does he keep... And I, like, sit back down. I'm like, oh, God, I have to pee again. No!
It's because you don't want that seatbelt sign to go on, and now you can't pee.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, just get out of it now.
I'm all in my own head, man. I'm all screwed up inside.
You're like Trubisky, man. Just in your own head. You got talent.
I don't know what's going on.
You just can't put it to use.
When they drop the linebackers, I'm seeing ghosts. When they drop the backers, I'm seeing ghosts.
What do you want me to say?
That's how it sounds. And I wake myself up, and I know everybody's looking. But I can't see my face, and they can't see my face either.
Can't you bring, like, a battery-operated CPAP?
I'm a mouth breather, Matt. Those are only worked for people with a nostril breath. Don't trust them big nostrils.
I'm just saying. What about that mouthpiece?
The CPAP? The CPAP?
I think so.
Happy Z spelled backwards?
Yeah, Happy Z spelled backwards.
I worked for that guy before. Dr. Greenberg?
It doesn't work?
I kind of, like, broke my jaw. I tried that.
But you stopped snoring, right?
No.
Oh, wow, it's late. We'll be back.